Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. All I can say is God is good all the time. Thanking Him for bringing us safely to our destination. Thanking all of you for your prayers on yesterday. That got us through to Virginia. So you, I am coming live from Virginia Beach with guests this morning. I have my mother and my aunt with me, and they are listening in today live and in person. And so thanking you. We are going to have a part two this morning of trusting in the Lord, and we are still in 2 Kings. Today we're going to be talking about a new king. Several new kings, actually, but our main king is Hezekiah this morning. Whew, and he is good. He's a real good king. We all know him. But he has some moments, too, because, you know, sometimes we can be so kind and so nice that we don't know we're setting ourselves up for future failure. But he's like, hey, it won't be in my time, so it's all good. So let's see what happens in our word this morning. If time permits, we will be in our Psalm and Proverbs. And on tomorrow, we will be in the New Testament. And as again on Sunday, we'll be back in the Old Testament. So we're a little bit different. We're kind of doing it 2 days in 2 days. So, and on Monday, we will not be vlogging again. And on Tuesday, we'll do a double vlog like we're doing today. So let's get started, but let's go into prayer. As I anoint my mom and my aunt this morning, because, and you know, and anoint myself, because we all need anointing to do the will of God. And we just say to ourselves, God, we are giving ourselves away for you to use us today. Father God, we ask for healing. You know, my aunt has been dealing with some issues this morning with her sinuses and her bronchial system, and we're asking you, Lord God, to heal her. We're asking you, Father God, to give us strength. We're asking you, Lord God, to remove the cough, that you, Lord God, are the best medication we can have. We know that it is by faith that we are healed, oh God. And I thank you for my mother, Lord. Thank you for still keeping her healthy and spry and with good heart, mind, and memory, Lord God. I ask you to continue watching over her, Lord, that she is our matriarch. And we ask you, Lord, to protect her from all her harm and danger. And Lord God, as we go forth this morning, we're asking you to increase as we decrease, asking you, Lord God, to hide us in the safety of your loving wings, that whatever may be said, Lord God, that it brings grace to you, that it brings beauty to you, that it brings souls to you. For Lord God, it is not about us. It is all about you. So Father God, as I lift up today, looking up today, giving you honor, glory, and praise, I ask you, Father God, as always, take this word, increase as I decrease, and Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, my humble heart, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I thank you, I praise you, I give you honor, and I give you glory. For there is no God like you, because you are the only God. In Jesus' name, we pray, trusting and believing. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, y'all. How you doing? It is so good to be with you this morning. You know, so good to wake up with a prayer on your heart, to wake up and just say, thank you, Lord. I'm thankful. I'm grateful, and I know that I know that I'm blessed to be a child of the Most High God. Because remember, somebody did not wake up this morning. Somebody did not get the grace that you have to have a new day. So tell the Lord this morning, thank you. Don't forget to tell God, thank you. Because He didn't have to wake you up. So let's get ready to get into our word. And all I can say is, well, it is good. Because we all know that sometimes you can have those issues. You can have a great, great parent and be a bad child. You can have bad parents and be a good child. And all through our words, we see bad parents having good children. And we see good parents having some God-awful children. And they just happen to be children in power who lead others to sin. And so what we can do is pray and ask God, Lord, remove these curses from families. Remove curses of sin from families. Remove the curse of idolatry from families. Remove the curses of all the broken commandments from families. Because, Lord, you are in charge. In Jesus' name, let's lift up the word of God this morning and just tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Y'all know I get all giddy for Jesus, so I'm getting giddy this morning and all happy because God is good and I'm where I need to be with whom I need to be. Hallelujah. So thank you, God, for my mother and my aunt and for all of you again this morning. Just being grateful. So let's go do what we do. Let's be in the Word. So get your Bibles because this is Bible study. And so when we say Bible study, that means you go back, get your word. And again, we talk about it every Sunday, but we said today, because many have gone to midweek services. But if the Bible is not picked up in your church, find another church. If you got a pastor that gets up and hoops and hollers, and when you walk out, you say, ooh, that was a good word. And then when someone says, well, what scripture did it come from? I don't know, but girl, it's a good word. Get your Bible. Get your purse. Get your wallet. Get your stuff. Get your children and walk out. Because we don't go to church unless the word of God is going forth. Because it is all about him and not about us. I can hoop, I can holler, but God's word is what's first, always. Because God will give you what to say, but you better come with a foundation. And that foundation is God's word. So let's get started. And we are in 2 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 1. And we will be in chapter 17, chapter 18, and we will be in chapter 19, 20, 21. And we will be going all the way to 2 Kings. I believe chapter 22 on today. So let's get started. And it says this in 2 Kings, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. And he died evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel who were before him. So he was mean, he was evil, but not as evil as Ahab. Let's keep it going. And then he goes and says, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his vessel and paid him tribute money. And the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to Saul, king of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up, and bound him in prison. In other words, the king of Assyria went and got him, put him in prison, and bound him up. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, carried Israel away to Assyria, and placed them in Hala and by the harbor of river of Gozan and in the cities of Medes. So it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. but it walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified cities. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them, and they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. But they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Then God tell us, thou shalt have no other God before me. And yet, here they go doing them. We can't do us and do God too. We got to do what thus says the Lord. And understand, there was nothing to tell you to be burning things on the hill. God got rid of all the wickedness so you wouldn't. And let's call it, we can't not tattoo everything on our body. You can't go and do the things God said not to do. And I don't know where that came from or who that was for, but be careful. Don't let anybody put some demons on you. Don't let somebody put them skulls and dead folks on you. Because what did we talk about in Proverbs the other day? That death and life is in the tongue. We got to watch letting folks put death on our skin. Be careful. And for my brothers and sisters out there that are getting lie put in your hair, be careful on that, especially women of color. There was just an article the other day that says we have to be careful putting processing like lye and those things because it is causing women of color to get cancer at a higher rate. We've been wondering why all of us, why we get cancer at a higher rate. It's what you put on your body. So be careful and make sure that before you do anything, pray first. And as we continue, it says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. What is our word today? Part two, trust in the Lord. They did not trust God. Instead, they made their own thing, did their own thing, and we cannot do that. And as verse 15 tells us in 2 Kings chapter 17, it says, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them, that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshiped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft, soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. And we better understand, folks talk about the lost tribes of Israel. Why are they lost? They were spiritually lost. They weren't physically lost. They were spiritually lost. They are all over. God knows who his children are. But until we come back to God, we're going to continue to be lost. That's why we got to trust in the Lord our God. We can't play with God. Oh, I got one foot in, one foot out. One foot over, one foot out. God is looking at all of those things. So, again, Judah was left because Israel became sick-necked and sin. And remember, Assyria had already taken most of them into slavery because of what? Disobedience. when your mama tell you don't go outside while she at work and you outside playing. Don't you know mama gonna know you was outside playing? Why? Because the sister Susie and everybody have already called her at work and let her know. And so you back in the house when she come home from work, sitting down like you don't, you've been good all day. And she said, well, you outside playing? No, mama, I was in here doing what you told me to do. And then mama pops up with the phone video. Bam. Is this not you? Outside playing while I was at work when I told you to stay in the house. But mama, nothing. And that, then what happened? Consequences. Just like with Israel. God told them not to follow after idols. And the consequences are lost tribes of Israel. Still to this day, they nobody knows who is who. He said, you don't, won't know who you are until that day comes. So we understand now it's because of sin. Sin will take you out of your ark of safety. And let's keep going in verse 19 in chapter 17 and 2 Kings. It says, also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicting them and delivered them into the hand of plunderers, until he had cast them from his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit great sins. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cuthah, Ava, Hamath, and from Sapphira, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in the city. And it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and indeed they are killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now, is that making a little bit of sense? That we find out that the folks that are placed in a place may not be who they think they are. They may not be the children of Israel. They may be counterfeits who learned what to do and how to do it. We better understand the word of God gives you clarity. All you have to do is listen and read it. And it says, however, every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in the shrines and the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities where they dwell. The men of Babylon made Sattoth Benoth. The men of Cut made Nargal. The men of Hamath made Ishma. And the Avites made Nephah and Tarkat. And the Sepharites burnt their children in fire to Am, Dramanik and Amenelik, the gods of Sepharim. So they didn't change. They didn't change at all. They continued doing, being idolaters, continued doing what they were doing. So they feared the Lord from every class they appointed for themselves, priests of the high places who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. To this day, they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinance or the law and commandments which the Lord has commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and outstretched arm heart you shall fear. Him you shall fear. Him you shall worship. And to him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes, the ordinance, the law, and the commandments which he wrote for you. Remember, the Ten Commandments were written by the hand of God. Moses did not write them. God did. By his hand. He told you, you shall have no other God before you. He told you not to be idolatrous. He told you not to lie, not to steal, not to disrespect your parents, not to covet other people's stuff, to remember his day and keep it holy. God has told us these things by his hand and so many more. He told you not to make idols, not to make stuff and worship it. God told us everything we need to live, to love him and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus spoke it too. Because if you take the top 10, divide it in half, you got God and the other half is your neighbor. Love each other and trust in the Lord. That's our word for today. Trust in the Lord our God. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. However, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did even to this day. Did not belong. These were not the children of Israel. Why do you think the Jews of Judah did not like the Samaritans? Because they did not know who was who and who was not. So they just didn't like them, period. That was why you had the Samaritan issue during the time of Jesus, because counterfeits had been placed in Israel. Now you're getting it. When you read the word, it all starts to come clear. We got to trust in the Lord to show you who is who. So some of those folks that was placed in Israel were not Hebrew. They were not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were not the descendants of Jacob. They were counterfeits. And that is why the Samaritans were not liked. And as we get into verse chapter 18 of 2 Kings, it says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah. And we know Hezekiah was a great king. He was just not that right when it came to some stuff. It says that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. There's our word. That's where it's coming from this morning. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. But he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart following him. He kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory, from Watchtower to fortified city. Hezekiah didn't play. Again, great, but not always the brightest. Now, it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it, and at the end of 3 years they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Then the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria and put them in Hala and by the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God. but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, and they would neither hear nor do them. And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against all the 45 cities of Judah and took them. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria and Lachish and said, I have done wrong. Take away from me whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Assyria said to the God, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. Good king, again, not so bad. Then the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabshakeh, and the Rabshakeh from Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem. Now, you done gave him all this stuff, and he's still coming after more. Come on now. Because he don't want the stuff. He wants the people. What does the devil want? The devil don't want our stuff. He wants our souls. He wants the people. So the devil was using his vote to go after God's chosen to say, see, your God ain't as bad as me. Okay, let's see what happens. Because God don't play that. Israel left. He let him have Israel. But he said, you ain't getting Judah. Let me tell you a little something, Not until I say so is Judah going anywhere. But let's keep it moving and let's go on. Because now you can tell the king of Assyria is a fake and a phony and a liar and a thief. And I'm just calling it like it is. And so, and also Rabshakeh. Remember, you got to be careful what you name your children. I go out and name yourself. Because when there's a rapper with that name, that is a, you got to watch. Folks just pull a name out of the Bible. Ooh, this is in the Bible. I'm just going, ooh, I like the way that sounds. Mm-mm. You better look up the history of who you naming your child and what you naming your child. Because it's in the Bible don't mean that it's a good name. You better check it out first. Read the history behind that name. And I'm just throwing that out there for somebody. I don't know who. But be careful what you name your children. And then it goes on to say, when they had come up, they went and stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fullest field. And when they had called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the house of Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? I trust in God. That's who I trust. I'm going to tell you now. Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man needs, it will go into thy hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose office as his high has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them. Now then, you will repel one captive and the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen. Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, Shebnah, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Arabic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. And it says, and then the Rabshakeh said to them, for as my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall who will eat and drink their own waste with you. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the word of the great king of, the king, the king of, the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he should not be able to deliver you from his hand. Now let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, but thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and send out to me one, send to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the water of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations of all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Zapharim and Nina and Iva? Indeed, have any delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the land have delivered them from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? Let the people hail their peace and answer them not a word. But the king's command was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Joab, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rosh Hashanah. Whew, talking about trust. It took some stuff because folks want to believe everything they hear. And he was speaking their language. So they were getting up. They were afraid. But he's like, we standing firm. They didn't open their mouth. They trusted in God. And so now Hezekiah has some work to do. So let's see what happens. Because understand, when you trust in God, God will tear up some stuff. You know, the Syrians think they were so tough, so bad. But no, what did they do? They moved people from their land to a land they did not know. What happened to so many people in this nation? We were moved from a land to a land we did not know. God is not playing. Sin has consequences. And God is speaking to us, trust in me. I got you. And he does. In 2 Kings chapter 19, it says, and so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. What did he do? He went and prayed. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet. Come on now. He said, I'm going to the top, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. And so the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Labna, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tarhaka, king of Ethiopia. Look, he has come out to make war with you. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Rezbah, and the people of Eden who were in Tal-Assar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Zephyrin, Dina and Iva? He's talking there. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed. Come on, y'all. What does it say? Prayer changes things. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear the words of the Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. They were not gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroy them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand. In all the kingdoms of the earth, you know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Come on, y'all, in the Lord God we trust. As God was playing, he said, I give him supplication where it belongs. He didn't go up on a mountain. He didn't go up on the hill. He went into the house of the Lord and prayed. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Uh-oh. We read what you sow. You know, Mr. King of Assyria thought he had it going on, but now let's see what the Lord has to say. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers, you have reproached the Lord and said, by the multitude of my chariots, I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees. I will enter the extremity of its borders to its fruitful borders. I have dug and drunk strange water, and with the soles of my feet, I have dried up all the brooks of defense. Did you not hear long ago how I made it from ancient times that I formed it, how I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushed fortified cities in the heaps of ruin? Therefore, the inhabitants had little power. He's talking mess. I mean, no, he was talking mess, but God's just giving him an overview. These are the things he said. They were dismayed and confounded. They were at the grass of the field and the green herb as the grass on the hilltop, the grain blighted before its green. But I know your dwelling place. Come on, God said, now, got you all that. Let me tell you something. But I know your dwelling place. You're going out and you're coming in. You rage against me because you rage against me in your tumult. You have come to my ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself. And in the second year, what springs from the same. Also in the third year, sow and reap. Plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward. Now, this is for Jerusalem. He's telling us, God, these are the things I need y'all to do. He said, I done a whole lot of stuff. I done told y'all the pieces. But this I want you to do. You know, and like I said, the king of Assyria thought he was all that. But God's letting him know, I'm better than you ever been. I done some things. You know, God loves us in our good and our bad and our ugly, but God will also tear us up. He is not one of them lenient parents. When you don't do right, he is not sparing the rod. And what he say he's going to do, he's going to do. When mama tell you to stay in the house while she at work, and if you come out, she's going to beat you behind. When she comes home with her video, that she already got that got you outside, she's going to beat your behind. And that's what God does. He tears us up when we are disobedient. Just go and take your punishment because you know you're sin. And do what's right the next time. So I bet you one thing. When mama says stay home, you stay home. And you stay in the house because you know you're going to get caught if you don't. Come on. And that's with God. We do what our father says. We trust in our daddy. And we do right. And when we do, he blesses his children. You don't get a spanking. And you don't get yourself destroyed. You don't get sold down the river. Come on now. You shall eat this year with such a growth. And then he goes on to tell me in verse 31, for out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant. And those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. Now, God has given them an understanding. Y'all belong to me. And what I say is what's going to happen. Don't worry about what the king of Assyria is talking, because this is what's going to happen to them. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it by the way that he came, by the same that he returned. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and my servant David's sake. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians. And I want y'all to hear this number. 185,000. Can I say it again? 185,000. When people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses of all the dead. So Shurim-Sharim, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained in Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adrammelech and Shelegar, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Sheradan, his son, reigned in his place. Chapter 20 of chapter of 2 Kings. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus said the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will hear you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and you will add to your days 15 years, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city by my own for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of fig. So they took and laid it on the boil, and it recovered. And I'm going to say this. Boils are nothing to play with. I had a friend who wound up in serious condition from a boil. She almost died from that boil. So boils are nothing to play with. Even in that day, they didn't have medical science like we do to this day, and she almost died. So when God healed him, you better understand that he healed him from something serious. It says, and Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahab. At that time, Beth-Rodak, Beladan, the son of Beladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Now, this is the subterfuge. This is where Hezekiah messes up. This is where he messes up. Because he's so happy to be alive. You know, we all get excited. God has blessed me. God has prospered me. And so you want to just tell everybody how good God is. But you don't understand. You don't give everybody a showing of everything that you're blessed with. Because you don't understand. You may be getting the setup. And he was getting the setup. And let's see what happens. And let's go forward into this verse 13. And Hezekiah was attended to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all his armor, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominions that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah, sitting, and what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came from far country, from Babylon. You know, I'm all excited. Somebody came to visit because I was sick, and they came to visit. Well, you know, so he's all happy. Not understanding. You got set up. And then Hezekiah the prophet, then Isaiah the prophet, hold on, let me go back down some. And he said, what have they seen in your house? See, Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and they shall take away from you some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good, for he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? Did y'all catch that? Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all this might, and how he made a pool and tunnel and brought water to the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Hezekiah rested with his father, then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. And here we go again, going backwards instead of forward. And he said Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, but he was a baby. Understand that. You know, we want to talk about how wicked somebody is. But when somebody is a child, there's got to be an adult that's over there putting this stuff in there. So his son was wicked, but he was 12 years old. And we got to keep that in mind. He was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars to Baal and made wooden images to Ahab, king of Israel, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven, served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also, he made his son pass through the fire, practice soothsaying and witchcraft, and consulting spirits and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son. In this house, and in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers. Only, there's that word, only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. There was a caveat. I will let you stay here if you do what you've been asked to do, to follow my commandments. Pay no attention. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants the prophet, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah has done these abominations. Think about it. This 12-year-old was king for 55 years. 55 years. They did sick, evil stuff. Followed after other gods. Oof. And the Lord spoke to the prophet. You got to listen when a real prophet speaks. You'll know it. Says, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations. He has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears it, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch out Jerusalem and measuring line of Samaria and plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies because they have done evil in the sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, so he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin, by which he made Judah sin, in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did, that he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Manasseh rested with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house and in the garden of Judah. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Hazor of Jotbah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped them. But he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Then the servants of Amon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. But the people of the land executed all of those who had conspired against King Amon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Amon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And he was buried in his tomb in the garden of Judah. And Josiah, his son, reigned in his place. And when we go into our lesson on Sunday, we'll be talking about Josiah, who was another child king. And, you know, and it tells us so many things. It's like, wow. Whew, you can't do number duo. Whew, when it comes to the word of the Lord. Because Josiah, one of another minister I know, she absolutely loves this little boy. 8 years old, becomes the king after his father. But, you know, we're going to go back into some of our Psalm and Proverbs while we have a few minutes left. And when we go back into our Psalm and our Proverbs, we still come back to trusting in God. And when we go to Psalm chapter 73, we get that on Tuesday. Excuse me. Psalm chapter 74, verse 1 through 8, it says, O God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion where you have dwelt, perpetual desolation. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the fig trees, and now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. They have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. But one thing we learn throughout this word is that when we trust God, everything will fall place. But understand there are consequences to our actions. And as we go back and look at some of the life lessons from our Bible, which is the Charles Stanley Life Principle, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I'm coming out of New King James. It says this: they fear the Lord, yet serve their own God. To fear the Lord and serve other gods is not really fear of the Lord at all. The real root of this kind of disobedience is unbelief. We disobey God when we do not believe either what he promises or what he instructs. God demands and desires our exclusive allegiance. He will not share your love with other gods. Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Matthew 4:10. And in 2 Kings 18:25, the Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. The Assyrians had no command from the Lord to destroy Jerusalem, but they used religious language to dishearten God's people. In fact, they did not regard God at all, but exalted themselves above him and thought him no different from the pagan gods. Yet those who set themselves against the Lord invite destruction. You better believe that. And in our psalm that we read on today, Psalm 74:1-8, why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? The psalmist knew of no unresolved sin in his life, and yet his circumstances continue to look bleak. We may not know why God seems to be silent in regards to our prayers, but even in such dark times, calls us to what? Trust him. When you're going through, trust God. When you feel like, Lord, I don't get it, things aren't going the way I need them to go, we trust God. And as we continue in our lesson this morning, it says, I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword. Everyone falls under God's sovereign power, even powerful enemy rulers. So King Hezekiah was unable to shave off Shemeshaph's onslaught or change the situation in any way. God certainly could, and he did. In 2 Kings 19:35, testifies, and history confirms, that God kept his promise to Hezekiah, and Shemeshaph fell by the sword in Nineveh. Everything concerning your circumstances, including the people in authority over you, are under sovereign God's hand. You know we got supervisors that can be mean and nasty. And we wonder, ooh, that you heard that such and such got fired. And it's like the word of God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Sometimes folks think that they got it going on when they find out you're not in charge of anything. God's got it all covered. And there's only one God, and he covers it all, and he's in charge of it all. We are the children of God, and we need to understand and recognize. And as we get into our last thing this morning, it's in 2 Kings 19:20, because you have prayed to me against the Shemeshaph, king of Assyria, I have heard. Hezekiah did not dispute the Assyrian war record. He did not close his eyes to historical truth. He refused, however, to class God with any other deity, and look to God alone for deliverance. The king asked Isaiah to pray for the nation, not merely on the basis of a great need, but in order to exalt the name of the Lord whom the invaders had insulted. Such a genuine prayer has a great power. God acted in a mighty way against the king of Assyria because Hezekiah prayed for him to intervene. When we fight our battle on our knees, we win every time. And that is our word this morning as we trust in the Lord God. Have a blessed day, family. As we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that God is in charge of everything. Trust in the Lord your God and watch God work in miraculous ways. That is a wrap. Before we get out of here, in these last few seconds, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who has been busy. And a word from our sis this morning is this: today is a day that God has made. Every day is a gift from him. Have a thankful Thursday. So keep trusting God and watching Mark. It's a wrap. Thank you for listening in this morning. Please join me tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Central Time, as we move forward in God's name. It is a wrap.